breaking through. Amen. Hallelujah. Breaking through the glass ceilings of that this world has put on us, that our minds have put on us. But hallelujah, he has given us the ability to break through because he's the one that is raising us up. Thank you, Father. I've been saying in the last few days, I was in prayer the other morning, and Holy Spirit just began to show me that the month of May is going to be a month of kingdom advancements. There's going to be some advancement in the kingdom of God in your life. Amen. And it could be a lot of different things. Advancement means advancing, getting better, moving forward. Hallelujah. It could be breakthroughs in your families. It could be breakthroughs in your finances, breakthroughs in your health. But the most important thing is the fact that there is a breakthrough. I'll answer it. Most important thing is there is a breakthrough in the presence of God, in the Spirit of God. And in this nation, there's going to be some advancements. Now, these advancements hadn't come easy. It's been fought hard. And this isn't a time to rest. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to back up. It's a time to pray and press in with the Lord. And because these advancements will not just naturally happen, they come as you got to step. If we don't step, it's not going to happen. Amen. So we got to step forward, and the Lord is leading us in different ways that way. There's going to be all kinds of things taking place. Not only just in this nation, but in this area, there's going to be meetings that are going to be taking place and going to be some real breakthroughs, and I just thank God for that. Hallelujah. Oh, if I could just play up here a video of what I've been seeing in my spirit this week. God has been showing me some really powerful things that is taking place, and transformations is taking place, things that are breaking. There are breakings taking place. We are living in a time, as last week I spent time talking about it, and we just did some breakthrough last week, and we're living in a time where the enemy has become emboldened, but his arrogance is always his downfall. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I give you praise today. We're going to send out some mission checks, and I want you to help me bless these. We're sending $500 to Rwanda, which is for the ministry there, Bible school activities. And we will be going over there this month. We booked our flights, and we've tried a couple of times, and through all the restrictions and everything, we've had to cancel twice. But I believe the Lord has opened the door this month. We're gonna get back into Rwanda after 6 years of not being able to get there, and we're gonna see the presence of God and go and encourage the people of God there that have been shut down and quarantined for over 2 years, and just wasn't too long ago they began to let them out, let them go, and the churches have scattered, and people have left, and so we're going to go over there and just see if we can't pull things together and see God move in a powerful way. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we can. I believe God's going to ordain this. Bridges for Peace. We're sending $100 to Bridges for Peace. We're sending $300 to New Life Asia Outreach. $300 to Teen Challenge of the Ozarks over in Branson West. And $300 to YWAM Houston, Martindale and YWAM Houston down in Houston, Texas. Pray with me today. Father, we send these by faith. We thank you, God, that you have ordained, Lord God, these ministries, you've ordained the outreaches, and Lord, I thank you that we get to participate by helping lift up their hands and bring provision to them. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to visit them powerfully with your presence, your power, and multiply, Lord God, this seed today. Lord, I thank you for bread for food and seed for sowing. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're wondering how that you give here at Healing River, there's a card machine out in the front. You can give online, or these little white boxes back here, you can drop your offering. You got one here and one in the entryway. That's how you give here. And thank you for your giving. You are amazing people. Praise God. We just don't have to try to push and, you know, anyway. Thank you. Hallelujah. You remember the brother that came from, where was that? Jamaica. You guys brought our brother, and he talked about, you know, that God was encouraged him because he was blessed, and that he had $200 for his trip and it had been stolen. And before he left here, when he got home, I think he asked our brother or sister, one of you, do you have a dollar? And you gave him a dollar. Is that the story? $1. He said, do you have $1? I said, yeah, I gave him $1. He said, there, that's my $200 back. As he left, different ones of you handed him money. And by the time he left here, he lacked $1, having all $200 back that had been stolen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's just the body of Christ. That's kingdom power right there. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Names are important. You know, in Western culture, we don't see it that way a lot of times. We name our children by just how we feel they should be named, or a lot of times we don't take it real serious. But God takes names serious because he renamed some people in the Bible. You know, Abram, which means exalted father. He didn't have any children, but God, his name was exalted father. Well, in the time of God talking to him about he was going to bring fulfillment and give him a son, and he was going to make him, you know, a man of multitudes of offspring, and it just didn't seem like that was happening at all. And Abram had to be faithful through several things. They tried to fix it themselves, and they got Ishmael, and God said, that's not the one I've ordained. I've ordained a child that hasn't been born yet. And so they had to walk in faith, and Abraham struggled with it. You know, every one of us would have, and yet Abram was the friend of God. God talked with him, and he was known as a friend of God. And God told him one day, he said, look down, Abram. He looked down, and he said, your descendants will be as many as the sands of the sea, the particles of dirt, particles of dust. And then one time he told him, look up. He said, look up at the stars. Your descendants will be as many as us. So God gave him points of contact for his faith, that every time Abram looked down, he saw prophecy. Every time he looked up, he saw the word. And then God changed his name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude or many nations. And so God was so interested in Abraham receiving that he gave him all types of things that would encourage his faith until the day that this happened. And we can, you know, we're several years down the road. We see how God multiplied and all the things that happened. God's word came to pass. But God said, you're known as the exalted father, but I'm going to call you the father of many nations, the father of multitudes. Multitudes. How many know that the word of God many times just lives in our heart. And it doesn't look like there's anything around us that is saying this word is going to come to pass. But when God puts a word in your heart, when it is burned into your spirit, you can't just leave that. You can't just drop that. It lives in you. It becomes part of your DNA. It becomes part of who you are. When somebody tells me that God spoke to them and a month later they can't tell me what it was that God said, I have doubts that that was God. Because when God speaks to you, he doesn't just give you a little nudge or insinuation of what he wants. He gives you words that burn in you like a flame of fire, and those words don't quit. They don't go out. You don't forget. If God speaks to you, you simply don't forget what he said. Amen. Hallelujah. When we don't take it seriously, then we lose what it is that God's trying to get across to us. So Abram became Abraham, father of a multitude. In the New Testament, we see, you know, angel Gabriel coming down and demanding that they name, you know, John the Baptist, as Zechariah, name him John. You're going to call his name John. And they said, there's nobody in our family that's named John. And, you know, John, the name John means hearer or hearing. And so God, you know, the angel come down and said, you're gonna name him Yohanan or hearing. And Zechariah didn't quite agree with that. And so the angel said, well, you know, it's probably going to be best that you can't say that, so I'm going to shut your mouth up until he's born, until the day that he's to be named, and because I don't want you talking until it's time. Do it again, God. Oh, did I say that? There's a lot of times that I think maybe God ought to just close our mouths up until the promise comes to pass, because we have a tendency to frustrate the plans of God with our opinions and with our words, and we don't always follow through with these things like we should. We don't take them serious. But the angel said his name's going to be called John, and then when it was time, Zechariah's mouth was opened, and he said, you got to call him John. Amen. Yeah, no argument here. His name's going to be John. I've had enough of this. And his relative said, there's nobody, you know, there's nobody in your family named John. But God decided that he wanted to name this child, this miracle child, he decided he wanted to name him Yohanan, or the hearer. Then we see Simon Peter. Simon was a man full of potential. Jesus saw the potential, but Simon had a hard time coming to the place where the potential could be useful. You know, there's a lot of people today that are full of potential. One thing, as a pastor for 40-some years, I've learned that potential means nothing. It doesn't matter how much potential I see in somebody, it means nothing. Because until potential is applied to purpose, it'll never bring fulfillment. I've got a pickup that the whole back end of that pickup is full of potential. It's full of tools. It's full of parts. There's all kinds of potential there. But as long as it stays closed and nobody opens it that understands how to take the purpose or the potential and apply it to purpose, there will be nothing built and nothing accomplished. God wants to take us and the things that he's spoken and put inside of us, and he wants to apply it to purpose. But how many have I seen fall of potential? I have had the heartache of watching people that has so much potential in God do nothing because they couldn't discipline themselves to apply their potential to purpose. If you've got too much potential and things come easy for you, you will have trouble amounting to the thing that you're supposed to do and accomplishing what you're supposed to do because you haven't had to fight for it. But if you have to apply yourself and fight for it, then you're going to follow that thing through and it's going to produce something in your life. Some of the people that, I'm going to get to my scripture here in a minute. Some of the people that have accomplished great things had no ability to accomplish that when they started. Amen. It's happened over and over and over. You know, Reinhard Bonnke touched millions of people in Africa. And Reinhard Bonnke said, I was probably had the least potential of anybody to do this. But he said, I just happened to say yes when God asked me. He said, I'm the most unlikely candidate. And yet we look back now and realize that he accomplished amazing things. I mean, Reinhard Bonnke was an amazing man of God, and yet he didn't have a lot of potential. Matter of fact, here in America, it was hard to set up meetings for him because us savvy, educated, intelligent Americans thought that he was a little simple. Because his messages were not deep, they were not theologically challenging, they were very simple. Jesus come to save, heal, and deliver, and that's what he preached on. You bring him into a conference in America, and he preached on Jesus come to save, heal, and deliver. And everybody is sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, we know that. Yeah, we know that. We know that, Reinhard. Bless you. And yet he would go to Africa. Millions and millions of people would show up at his meetings. The power of God would be displayed, and there would be millions saved. There are miracles taking place all over. I have a picture in my office, or I did. I've been moving, so I took it down. But I've got a picture that shows just an ocean of dark-skinned people. And I put that on my wall because God showed me that in my early 20s. He took me on a journey, and he showed me that happening all over the world. And just an ocean of dark-skinned people. Miracles taking place. It was amazing what happened. And yet, Reinhard Bonnke didn't have the potential to be a great preacher. But he took what potential God gave him and he applied it to purpose. And he had a purpose from God, and that purpose from God manifest to the point that there was amazing things that took place and happened in his life and through his life. Peter had a lot of, he was very outgoing. You know, we see Peter, he had the audacity to talk back to Jesus. Jesus said, cast your nets out. And he said, hey, listen, you know, we're fishermen. We know this business. We've been fishing all night. Can you imagine his attitude? We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. You know, we kind of clean it up for him. today, but Peter had an attitude when he said that, and Jesus said, you know, just cast your nets on the other side. You know, just humor me. And Peter said, okay, at your word, we'll do it. We'll do this for you. Cast nets on the other side. They couldn't pull the nets in. And all of a sudden, Peter had a revelation. Isn't it amazing how God has to get our attention so many times to where we can have a revelation? Like the woman of the well, when she fussed and argued with Jesus until he told her what's going on in her life, and all of a sudden she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. We become very perceptive at times like that. Amen. I told a young lady, ministering to at a drug rehab place, and I was ministering, and I looked at this young lady, and I said, you don't even know why you're here. You're just here because you need help, and you didn't have anywhere else to go, and somebody brought you. I said, you don't believe what I'm saying, and you just soon not be here. But you're here for a purpose. And I started talking to her, started explaining what's going on in her life. God began to show me things in her life, and I began to talk to her. And before long, tears was running down her face. I said, now you understand why you're here tonight. You might not have believed when you walked in, but you know right now God is here, and he's talking to you, and he knows who you are. He knows what your name is, and he wants to set you free tonight because he's pointed you out. God does not have a problem with people that don't believe, because he will demonstrate. Amen. Even in a place where they didn't believe, Jesus still performed a few miracles and a few healings. That's power right there. Hallelujah. That's power. He said they didn't believe, so he only was able to do a few healings. It's like, God, we have hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, that went over hard. Are you insulting us? Yeah, pretty much. We're a hard bunch. Amen. Yeah, we've been there, done that. All right, Simon, when Jesus met him, he said, your name is no longer going to be called Cephas. We call him Peter. Petros, your name is going to be called Petros, or Peter in the Greek. And the name Petros means a mass of rock detached from the living rock. It means a piece of the rock. Jesus was speaking something into Peter's life that Peter didn't even know existed. The things that Peter did, he did not have the potential to do. He had a lot of potential, but he didn't have the potential to do this because he had an attitude, he was rebellious, he was definitely outspoken. Amen. Constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He had to taste of shoe leather in his mouth most of the time he walked with Jesus. Even to the point that one time he grabbed Jesus and shook him. When Jesus said that I'm going to have to give my life, he shook him and he said, that's not going to happen. Can you imagine grabbing God in the flesh and telling him, this is not going to happen? And Jesus said, get behind me, you devil. Can you imagine? I mean, Peter went back and he went. Some of us resemble that remark. I mean, you know, we would go back and forth. But Jesus spoke something into Peter and he said, your destiny is to be a piece of the rock. That's your destiny. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Starting with verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Now the next verse is what I want to focus on today. Therefore, or because of that, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of Father, of God the Father. Now we just read a declaration from God that is going to happen. Amen. That every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Everyone will declare that, because there's coming a time when all doubt is going to be erased and he is going to be revealed. But today he's revealed in our hearts. And I want you to grab hold of this verse that says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Today we are serving a Savior, a Lord, that has a name that has been exalted. It was originally Yeshua, but the English term of that name is Jesus. And it means to rescue. It means that to be delivered, to deliver, to rescue. It means Yahweh saves. Hallelujah. We are serving a Lord who has been exalted, highly exalted, above every name that is named, the name of Yeshua. If you don't think the name of Jesus packs power, now sinners are always using his name in foul language or curse words, and it grips, you know, it cuts my heart when I hear it, but they don't have a reaction when they do that, you know. I have a reaction. I usually tell them, don't use my Lord's name like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Most of the time I'll tell them, I say, look, Jesus had nothing to do with what you just said. Leave his name out of it. Amen. I work around construction workers and all that kind of stuff. I know what it's like. I know how they talk, but I also know that I have the ability to talk myself. Matter of fact, it really shuts them down when they get to cussing. You're a real foul mouth. And I just stop them. I say, here, let me interpret what you said. And I give them the dictionary version of the words they just used. And I said, what kind of insanity and ignorance are you walking in? You can't even understand English. Amen. Precious little thing that I am. I just, amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I believe in taking over atmospheres, not being bound by them. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, when I walk in, everybody gets quiet. Thank God. Don't feel rejected. Feel respected. Amen. Hallelujah. But the name Yahweh, Yeshua, if you don't think the name of Jesus has power, you let a person of faith speak the name of Jesus, and it arrests the attention of everybody around. I mean, it shuts them down. All you have to do is stop and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, and it has a ripple effect in everybody around you. Amen. I was in a car lot one time, looking at a car. This one, I was preaching a revival, and the old junker was driving, was about to fall apart, and one of the people in the congregation had a car lot, and he said, Preacher, you need to come and see me. I said, all right, I'll come see you. I went down there, and he was showing me everything, looking around, and I was out there on the parking lot, and this one salesman that showed me around just brought, he said, Preacher, I go to church, but I know you can smell it. I'm bound by cigarettes. And I said, well, let me ask you, why would you let something that big control your whole body? Amen. And I said, can it talk? Can it speak? How is it that it has authority over you? He said, I don't know. I said, well, we're going to pray right now, and I'm gonna pray, and you're going to be delivered right now. We're out on the parking lot. There's people everywhere looking at cars. And I said, bow your head. He bowed his head. I put my hand on his head. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, power. You nicotine, I command you to come out of him now by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, I began to pray the power of God over his life. And when I finished, I looked up. Everybody in that car lot and on the parking lot was standing like this. Everybody. Why? Because that name has been highly exalted above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Hallelujah. This isn't some religion that we've got. It is the power of the Son of God who died on the cross, was raised again, and God highly exalted him above everything, and he has authority in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. He has broken down every stronghold. He has the keys of death and hell. He is the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and he is King today. This is not some kind of weak religion we're trying to prop up. You don't have to prop him up. You don't have to make excuses for him. Amen. His name has authority. His name has power. And you need to let people know by your actions, not because of you telling them, but by your actions and by the power you walk in, they need to know that you believe in Jesus Christ. And he's Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Glory. In my bookshelf, I have a big sword that stands, and you can't tell how it's held up there. It's this big sword that just stands there, about 3 foot long, and it's just standing there. Why? I hung it that way because the word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I got to tell you something, I don't have to prop up the word of God. It can stand on its own. It don't need my help. It can stand on its own. I have the word and the authority of Almighty God. And when I speak his word, when I speak, he speaks. And when he speaks, I speak. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. He has highly exalted him above every name. Praise God. Every name. There's a lot of names today. Amen. A lot of names that get thrown around in the news media. It's supposed to be powerful. But I got to tell you something, there's a name that's above those names. I serve a Lord that his name is exalted higher than Putin. His name is exalted higher than Biden. His name is exalted higher than Pelosi. I serve a God whose name is above every name. His name is above Trump. His name is above my name. He is the Lord, the Savior. There is no name above his name. Those that bow before him. A lot of these people think that they're really doing something, and yet they're pawns. They're just pawns, puppets. Just puppets. Amen. The globalists think that they are just, you know, going to take over the world. I got to tell you something. The creator of this world is laughing at them and saying, what do you think? You're dying. You are dying. Amen. You are rotting flesh. And you think that you're going to take over the world. I don't know what Bill Gates, I guess Bill Gates thinks he's going to somehow invent something that's going to make him live forever, because he's trying to form this world, you know, to be perfect for him. I got to tell you something, Bill Gates is going to bow before the Lord. He's going to say Jesus is Lord one of these days, whether it's good or whether it's bad. He's going to say Jesus is Lord. The globalists that are trying to take over this world will bow. Amen. The beast system is what it is. It's Antichrist. Several years ago in India, and I've been saying this for years, I was praying for the meeting that night, and Holy Spirit interrupted me and began to tell me what was going to happen. And I've been trying to say this, I've been trying to preach this, and it's kind of been like deaf ears. And I told him, I said, God told me that the Muslims were going to be activated to create unrest and to tear things apart and to make people feel afraid, and they're going to be used to shake and tear apart. But they are not the Antichrist. They don't serve the Christ, but the Antichrist, they are just simply going to make a way and bring people into a place of fear where people be willing to yield to those that say they have the answers. And we're living in a time now where those that say they have the answers create crises so that they can be the Savior and come in and save us. And people are so ignorant today that they believe it. They believe it's really happening, and they close their eyes and say, I don't want to really see what's happening. But Holy Spirit said all they're going to do is bring unrest and fear so that the beast system can move in. We are living right now in a time where the beast system is moving in. It's already moved into Washington, D.C. It's already moved into London. It's already moved in to the parts of the world. China has sold out. I mean, China represents the beast system. They are the ones behind most of what's happening here. Ungodly, atheistic religion. And this is all coming about. It's all coming together. There's a lot of names that are being raised up. But I got to tell you something. I've read it in the book. I've heard it in the prayer room. I know what name is going to be exalted beyond all of these. I know who's winning. I know who's going to raise up. It don't matter what they do. In the end, there's somebody coming riding on a white horse. And on his name is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he shows up, there's not going to be a fight. They're going to go down. Satan is going to be locked up for 1,000 years. There's not going to be a fight. Names are important to God. That's why he took this name, Yeshua, Jesus, S-U-A, Azu. And he highly exalted that name to where today the name of Jesus is still shaking continents. Hallelujah. You haven't seen anything yet. Oh, there's breakthroughs coming. Praise God, there's breakthroughs coming. We have went through so many stages in the church in America. Some of them have been a little bit bad. Some of them been a little bit good. But all of them, we have such a tendency to take what God does and swing that pendulum clear out of sight. We get completely crazy. And then when we fall on our face, that pendulum starts coming back down. And it swings back over here. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. I got discouraged and let down. No, you didn't. You just your own ignorance got you. I know we're supposed to blame everything on the devil, but we're not going to do that here, okay? We've had all kinds of moves. Somebody asked me the other day, why did prayer get so absent in the body of Christ? I said, well, we went through a time of training and teaching on the Word of God. Before that, we prayed. We interceded. Every great move of God's come through interceding. And then we got a hold of the Word and begin to realize that the Word was powerful. And so a large part of the body of Christ stopped praying and just started declaring. Amen. We didn't need to pray anymore. All we had to do is say the right phrases and the right Bible verses, and we had it. And now that thing's swinging back down. And there's a whole bunch of people that's got the Word in them, that understands the authority of the believer, that understands the power of the Word, and coming back down and getting back in the prayer room and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and getting in the glory of God, and the Word and the Spirit is getting united and married, and we're going to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a powerful release. Because not only are we going to understand the Word of authority, we're going to understand the power that backs it up, and we're going to be filled with His Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Dad Hagin would have whooped some of the people that has promoted his teachings. Amen. Because he was a man that believed in prayer and relationship with God. That's why he was successful living. He's the only guy I know. He's the only one I know that lived out what he taught, and it never failed him. Amen. He was never sick. I mean, just walked in that authority. But more than that, he learned that relationship with God early on. Hallelujah. I like reading Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't allow anything in his house but a Bible. You couldn't bring a newspaper in. You couldn't bring anything in. But I got to tell you something. Smith Wigglesworth knew the presence of the Lord. And he said this. Listen to me. And a lot of people thought he was so arrogant. He said, if God's not moving, I move him. If God's not moving, I'm. In other words, what Smith was saying, let me break it down, put it in our vernacular. If the atmosphere is trying to restrict me, I change the atmosphere. Amen. Amen. And he did it. Praise God. He would change atmospheres. He was on a train one day and got up in the morning, and he got up. And he went in and washed his face. He wasn't feeling spiritual. Y'all know that everybody doesn't just feel spiritual all the time. He was just trying to wake up. You know, I spend a lot of time in the presence of God and prayer and the Word. But a lot of time when I wake up in the morning, I'm not singing hallelujah. I'm singing, stay away from me. I need to drink some coffee. Just everybody be quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is hang on. I'm really carnal right now. I need to get in the spirit. You don't want to be around me right now. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Some of y'all just lost faith in me right there. You're supposed to be on all the time. I am not on all the time. I love it when we travel around different ministries and different places. Betty and Damon Salisbury has went with us on a lot of bike rides and stuff like that. They've traveled over 50,000 miles with us. And we'll go places to minister. And people always get around and ask them when I'm not around, say, what's he really like? And they usually say, that. Amen. We don't have to put on shows. Praise God. we're just who we are. Amen. But we serve a God that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Praise God. He is exalted, highly exalted.